following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here.
They broadcast me out on the radio.
We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen. This is The Q.
Let's get down to business.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Q. Of course, you are listening to Mark Bland, and this is the absolute best current events, current affairs, pop culture with a political twist radio show east and west of that Mississippi River, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, here in the Midwest, your gateway to the West. This is The Q, and we appreciate every single one of you out there for listening. Something is bothering me about this whole Ferguson situation, and I'm going to rant. I'm going to discuss it a little bit because it's kind of, you know, I told you I was going to get away from the Ferguson. And I promise I'm going to get away from the Ferguson. It's not my main go-to anymore. I understand there's a lot more that has to fall out with this, and we're going to be talking about it over the next 6 months as pieces come out here and pieces come out there. But something happened, and I'm a little disturbed by it. There's also more single people than married people in the USA for the first time ever, as well as producer Bobby over there has decided to have a surprise guest join us tonight. Last time it was Luke from the WWE's Bushwhackers from the 1980s. And I don't know who it could be today, but I really appreciate the fact that he has decided to go. Tell me a little bit about how this, like the last time, just out of the complete blue. It was out of the complete blue. And now what's the situation?
Okay, so I got a phone call.
Yeah.
And
it was just...
it was just a random phone call, and the person on the other line's like, "Hey, this is Bobby from The Q, correct?" And I said, "Yeah." And they go, "Hey, I have a big star that wants to come on the show. To come on the show,
right?
He's very well known. He's a champion of champions." And
is that the text? I think the person's out at the door right now.
Go get them real quick, dude.
So, yeah, Bobby's going to go get the special guest, and he's going to bring him in. Of course, sitting next to me also, as always, the beautiful and lovely, the queen of sass, the sassiest bitch we know in the United States of America, ladies and gentlemen.
Jess.
It is Jess. Last show, if you did count, we had five. That's right. Five cuss words that this chick bombed live on our show nationally. FCC called me out of the complete blue because they were so flabbergasted that I would be so dirty on my show. And I'm like, listen, I can't control what these Latino women say on my show. There's nothing I can do about it. It is Lucy Mendez, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
How are you doing, sweetheart?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Now, did you? I told you to work on talking for 5 to 7 minutes at a time and not cuss in that entire time. We will make no Golden Girl references, right? There will be zero Golden Girl references. So there's no reason to get like the F word out there.
The F word, or you know what?
Or the S word, or any of the other
stuff.
I've
been practicing.
You've been practicing
a
lot? Because Dan Walsh was even kind of taken aback. And Dan Walsh has got a dirty mouth.
He does.
He does have a dirty mouth, but he holds it back very well.
I do not.
Okay, Bobby is back, ladies and gentlemen. And, no, Bobby, no. What the? Jesus, man.
I don't think you can say that.
Bobby? Ladies.
This is our guest.
Sir, how are you today?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the voice of a gentleman by the name of...
That is the voice of the best in the Midwest, the current Dynamo champion, the current GW champion.
Why is he even in my studio,
and the
Bobby?
Dynamo tag team champion.
They didn't give me a name.
No, this is ridiculous. Every time I said, listen, I have no problem with you like doing the show. I love you. You know I do.
Yeah.
And you pulled like, listen, Kurt, right? Captain Kurt.
Yeah.
You brought Captain Kurt, William Shatner, to the show.
Right.
Okay, that was great. That was a surprise. Blew our minds.
Yeah.
Me and Dan were all blown away, right? Then you had Bushwhacker Luke, okay?
Right.
This piece of crap, this guy?
Why is this dude here? I wasn't told a name.
I was told they would show up.
Why are you even in my studio right now? What even gives you the balls to step into my studio?
You have Captain Kirk.
Sure.
Then you have Luke Williams. And to go one step above, what better than the King of Chaos, Ricky Cruz?
The King of Cheating, Ricky Cruz? Yeah, that's great. Like, I really need my problems from Dynamo Pro to follow me over here to my radio show. To, like, sit there so the thousands and thousands of listeners out there can listen to you blabber on about how you cheated to win this title, and you screwed Mark Bland over to win that title, and you cheated to win this title. And that's great. You carry lots of titles around that you didn't earn, dude.
Mark, the one blabbering, it's you right now. Just shut up.
Hey,
except the fact
welcome
that
to
the
my
King
show.
Of Chaos is in radio with you. You should feel honored right about now because I'm in your show. And it's not even because of you. Thank God you didn't call me. Thanks to Bobby,
well,
I'm
first
here
off,
at your show
I
and making it even better.
My time to call you. That's why I allow people on the executive committee like Crystal to do the business with you and talk to you because I don't have time to waste my time talking to an idiot like you.
Sir,
and I understand you're the heavyweight champ and I respect that you're the heavyweight champ. But at the same point, I don't respect your attitude towards me.
You better respect that I'm the heavyweight champion. You better respect the fact that because of what you're talking right now and how you are, is that at every show, you get knocked out.
Yeah, we seem to have a little issue with that, don't we, Ricardo?
Yes,
yeah.
you have an issue, and the name is Enrique. My friends call me Ricky, but you can call me Enrique.
All right, Ricardo. We have an issue with the fact that you have, at least twice now, I've been speared. And then there's also two attacks by you personally. Like, so there's been two spears. The Bum Rush Brothers independently have both knocked me off the ring apron, which I don't think that they intended to do. They're good guys. I've talked to them many times. They've apologized to me. But at the same point, in the middle of a match, I understand things can get happen. But then you sit there and you laugh at it. And then after the last time that I got knocked off the ring, I was starting to get up after the match. You kicked me in the head and knocked me back down on the ground.
That's what you're supposed to do. Just be knocked out.
Just
stay there.
You don't think
that's your job at Dynamo. Get beat up, get down, don't move.
No, my job at Dynamo is to ensure that that title is around the waist of the people that properly earn it.
Exactly.
And you're not that guy. No, no. Yeah, you say that. You say that, but like we both know that all you do is cheat and you screw people over.
I do whatever is necessary to be number one. Yes, I do.
Oh, did you come here to cheat?
No, I don't have to cheat to
you
be
got,
here.
You got four
I don't
rules?
Have to
Tell me about your four rules.
Here.
Tell
I'm
me about your four
better
rules.
Than anyone here. No, no point intended, Lucy. I know you're the greatest diva that it's in wrestling right now. But, Mark, let's be honest. You know where I come from. You know what I've done in wrestling. And you know, and you have to accept, even if you don't like it, that I'm the damn best in the Midwest.
Well, see, I disagree with you because you have a lot of belts, but there's this other guy. And I'm not really fond of him
who
either.
Who are you going to mention? Dan Walsh, who's not even here because I'm here?
Well, well, first off, before we go any further, there's another gentleman. I'm not very fond of him either, but at least he hasn't created the issues for me you have, which is Jeremy Wyatt. They call him the belt collector, and he tends to be the best in the Midwest, at least he claims. And so I'm kind of confused as to where, like, you think that you're the best. I understand you have the title. But just having the title doesn't make you the best. Like, Floyd Money Mayweather, right, Bobby?
Correct.
Floyd Money Mayweather wins all of his fights. He's like
46-0.
46-0, but he fights basically guys sparring partners. Like, he doesn't fight any, and it always goes to a decision. He's never knocked a person out, I don't think. Well, he possibly has. I don't know for sure, but like.
That shows your knowledge in sports right now.
Right, that's.
Now, let me ask you one question.
Sure.
You mentioned Wyatt, it's a great competitor, one of the best wrestlers in the United States. I'm not going to lie. He is great at what he does.
Sure.
How many belts he has right now? Because you said, I hold the title, but the reality is I hold the titles. I have multiple titles.
Yeah, I will be one of the first to say that my idea backfired a little bit, and you did end up, utilizing a situation to your advantage with a Travis Cook. Lucy Mendez, whoever was around the ring at that time, you used it to your advantage.
Doesn't she look pretty next to the ring, you know, walking with me out to the ring and whatnot?
I do.
She looks pretty.
Lucy.
And then she's Latino with that accent. You can't get any better than that.
Even.
That's why I'm number one. There you go.
Ricky, why are you here, man? Do you have a reason why you're even here?
I was invited, and you're always running your mouth that if I do radio, I should come and do your show. Here I am, and now you're bitching about it.
Excuse me, I've never invited you on the show at all. I've never asked you to be on the show. I've never invited you to be on the show. Bobby was completely flabbergasted when he gets some random phone call out of the middle of the blue. Was that probably you with a voice box?
Bobby is the man right now in this station just because he brought someone like me in here.
All right. Well, I'm going to move on, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk about a few other things. Our guest is the Dynamo Pro Heavyweight Champion, Ricky Cruz. Thanks for being here, Ricky.
Thank you. That's how you should do it.
I appreciate you taking up so much of my time. So, thanks. I'm going to move forward here. Hey, listen, here, if you want to chime in, I don't have a problem with that. Try to not step over the toes of anybody with your mouth. You know, I know that you Mexicans have that issue. So I just want you to kind of hold back if you can.
See, if it was in another occasion, I will slap you just for saying that. But Lucy's Mexican, and I love her. So I'm just going to keep it at...
Yeah, Lucy's Mexican like you. I know. I understand.
Sir, since you don't know and you're such an ignorant, I'm Puerto Rican.
Ah, Puerto Rican.
What part of Mexico is that?
Oh, my God. Bobby, I thought you were the intelligent one here.
All right, fair enough. Mr. Puerto Rico, Ricardo Cruz, is here tonight. And thank you so much for being on the show with me, Ricardo.
It's an honor for you to have me here.
I can see this is going to be entertaining. Eventually, ladies and gentlemen, potentially a former competitor of one Enrique Ricardo Montalban Cruz...
Suave.
What you were trying to say is Montalban, like I said.
Yeah. Guadalajara Cruz was here. Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex, might show up. And, you know, the last time you guys saw each other, you guys were fighting champion for that title that's around your waist. You know, you guys had a couple little go-arounds, some three-ways and a couple one-on-ones and things like that. So maybe you guys can reconnect, you know? Maybe he can connect with a punch to your face or something like that.
You'd probably help us out. Be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm sure he'll show up eventually. So if you feel like wasting our time blubbering on about third world countries and things like that, you're more than welcome to throw in at any time you want to, Mr. Cruz, your opinion on any of these things that I like to talk about. Because I do know that you reside in the St. Louis area as well as the Midwest, you know, where the show is broadcast out, syndicated. That's what we call more fans than you have. And so with that being stated... you're more than welcome to finally talk to lots and lots of people like in your head, like you think in your head you have. You'll finally get the chance to do that. So be my guest, like at any time if you want to join in.
By the way,
did you vote for me for best AM radio personality on the Reader's Choice .riverfronttimes.com awards?
You really think that I'm going to vote for you?
Lucy, the beautiful Lucy Mendez.
Yes.
You're smart to be quiet because I understand that you never mind. Did you vote for me?
I sure did.
Thank you so much, sweetheart.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Bobby, did you vote for me?
I voted as many times as possible.
So basically what you're saying to me is the only person who did not vote for me is Jose Lothario's bastard 12th son who never got a chance in wrestling properly, Ricardo Cruz.
I had all the chances that I need. I traveled all over the world. Just more than you have done in radio, in wrestling,
you know,
or
what?
Whatever.
Talk about that a little bit because I'd love to get to know you a little bit. You know, while we got you here and we got that live mic and there's so many people finally listening to you for the first time in your life, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about your career. Where you Puerto Rico, all right? Let's put all the crap to the side for a minute, okay? Between me and you, all right?
All right.
Straight up, one-on-one. You're from Puerto Rico.
Yes, sir.
What town in Puerto Rico?
I'm from Guayanilla, Puerto Rico.
Guayanilla, Puerto Rico.
That's the south of the island.
The south of the island. Now, how big's the island?
The island, it's 135 by 65.
That's a small island. Well, I mean, it's a sizable island. Don't get me wrong. It's not like the smallest island in the world. It would be really easy to fool people into believing that you're the best wrestler on an island that size. That's obviously easy to do.
That's close to the size of Massachusetts, correct?
I think Massachusetts could be a little bit bigger.
Okay.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. There's 4 million people in that little island, and it's all filled with talent. If you ask in the musician world, they'll tell you that Puerto Rico has most of the best musicians in the world, and there's a lot of athletes, too, that have done pretty well in world competitions, and we are actually...
Trinidad? Very, is he from there? Felix Trinidad from there?
Trinidad, Miguel Cotto are from there, Calderon are from there.
I know all those names. I didn't know the name Cruz for some reason.
That's why you tried to...
know the name Cruz.
You tried to deny that you knew me, and you tried to say that I'm no one.
I'm not saying that you're no one. You're the Dynamo Pro Heavyweight Champion.
Of course, I ask to any listener out there, on all those people that hear your syndicate.
Yes, the case show. Yes.
Who knew Liquid Ice?
Who knew what? Liquid Ice. What's Liquid Ice? Are you talking about my old nickname from when I used to be a wrestler?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it was also The Natural, too. Oh. It was also other things. It wasn't just Liquid Ice. That was like for 1 year.
Pick your most famous name.
I went by The Natural for 7+ years.
Okay, who knew you by that? Your mom?
Your two cousins? Yeah, my mom and my two cousins.
Okay.
Both of them.
All right.
As well as your mom and your two cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I actually have 75 cousins. That's what happens with Latin families.
Fair enough.
Like rabbits.
Fair enough. Even Ricky Cruz has a funny bone every once in a blue moon. That's funny, actually. So how do you get into wrestling? What makes you get into wrestling?
I was in the national team of martial arts for 9 years. And then in my last tournament, I met Savio Vega, which was a famous wrestler in the island. He wrestled by TNT. And then he went to WWE to be Kwong and
Savio Vega.
And he asked me if I like wrestling. I told him that I've been watching it since I was 4 years old. I was a very Ricky Steamboat mark or a fan. We say Mark in wrestling, and I swear to God, it's in honor of this guy right here, Mark Blanco.
Well, I appreciate that honor being bestowed upon
me. But he offered me the opportunity to learn in the dojo that they had in Puerto Rico.
And, how much did that cost you?
Nothing.
Actually. Are you sure about that?
They invited me.
Because I would have made you pay a lot of money.
Being honest and taking all the animosity between you and me aside, I was very, very lucky because people from all over the world were coming to Puerto Rico because Taka Michinoku and his wife opened a dojo, and Pablo Marquez and Super Crazy.
Isn't Taka Japanese?
Yes, sir.
Why would Taka, of all the places in the world, be like, you know what? I want to give up all that high-end technology and all that advancement going on over in Japan every day of the week,
because,
and I'm just going to move to this place where things are expensive.
I'm going to explain to you real easy. WWE used to send their wrestlers when they got signed before to Puerto Rico to get experience, and then they will put them in the rosters.
Enough. That makes sense.
Because before there were the development.
Well, Puerto Rico has always had a very vibrant wrestling community. I mean, that's where King Kong Brody, God rest his soul, was killed. But he had wrestled down there many times.
Yes.
Isn't that where the colognes are from?
The colognes, but you'd be surprised to know people like Kane were in Puerto Rico for a long time, getting better at what they do. People like Scott Hall, even Bret Hart, Gangrel was for a long time in Puerto Rico, and I can mention lots of them that did the same.
I'll just be honest with you. St. Louis has never been really successful in professional wrestling ever. We've never had anybody successful come from this town at all.
That's a lie. Liquid Ice
was from here. I mean, of course, everybody knows Liquid Ice, right? Right? Threw that one out there, didn't you? Yeah. Yeah. Is that the crickets? Is that the crickets?
That's good.
That's funny. That's funny.
No, being serious, I heard a lot.
Tuck your chest hair back in. It's cool. We don't need to see that.
Yeah, it's not wrestling. Being honest, St. Louis is mentioned a lot in Puerto Rico when you're starting in wrestling because they tell you on how they start with wrestling at the Chase and how they develop the
area. We love St. Louis. Bring your people down here. We'll shank them a couple times.
Exactly.
That's really horrible, and I'm sorry that actually happened. That should never happen to a human being ever at all. But, you know, being that you're one of those people from down there in Puerto Rico, I expect that. You know, I expect that kind of attitude.
You'd be surprised. I had the opportunity, and now, like I said, being serious.
Sure.
I had the opportunity to meet Brody's wife.
Fair enough.
And I was very nervous, and I was very anxious in a way because I didn't know how she was going to react, knowing that I worked in Puerto Rico for the company that when he was, you know, where he was killed.
Really?
And she was nothing.
Now, that was many years before you, though.
Yeah, no, of course. But she was nothing but nice, and she had so many nice things to say about Puerto Rican fans and about the time that she went to Puerto Rico.
Although I joke and I gist and I throw slams at you verbally here on the radio, let's be honest, just because one individual over in Puerto Rico decides to go off the book a little bit and do something like that to another human being, that doesn't mean the entire island and everybody, it represents them. Like, that's not the case.
Okay.
So I can understand, like how she probably wouldn't take it personally, every single Puerto Rican or somebody like that.
Yeah, but you know how people would say like they just hold a grudge, and she didn't, and I was grateful that she didn't, and I had to spend a good time with her and to talk to her about wrestling and about what's going on, that she was actually interested of what was the Puerto Rico scene in wrestling.
Now, since we've been around each other in the locker room a few times, obviously, some people have told me that you are friends with somebody who's crazy. Somebody who's very crazy.
Somebody who's super crazy.
Is that true?
Super Crazy was one of my trainers.
All right.
He trained me for 8 months.
Very talented man.
I would say one of the best in in-ring performers in the world. It's a shame that he doesn't get to... You know, there's different areas in wrestling. It's not just being in the ring and knowing holds and knowing how to fly and knowing how...
I know that.
A lot of things.
I know that. My name was Liquid Ice one time. Yeah. Yeah. That just happened again.
That just proved that
you just brought the name up. And like you brought the name up and you just keep...
Yeah, you're trying to mention it to see if more people remember you by that name. It's not going to happen. If it didn't happen in 9 years or 7 years or whatever many years you did wrestling, it's not going to happen by an hour in radio.
Listen, I was only a wrestler for 6 months total in my whole career. That was my whole career. 6 whole months. That's it. That's all I did.
And five and a half with just carrying other people's bags?
That's, yes, I'm very good at lacing boots, let's just say.
All right.
All right, fair enough.
I can't believe that.
That's interesting. Growing up on the island, tough?
Actually, no. It was super super nice. The area where I live in the South, it's very friendly. Like, your neighbors are your brothers. We all grew up, and everybody treats everybody as family. But you'll see that Latin America has that aspect of them. Like, all of them will do it.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. It's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here with Dynamo Pro heavyweight champion Ricky Cruz. This is probably the most promotion.
He's also the Dynamo Pro tag team champion.
Just throwing that out there.
And the GWF champion, too. Thank you.
Bobby, you're kind of already on my list.
I know, but as the best friend of the executive director of operations, you have to name that, too.
I see what you're trying to say there. And yes, he is also the tag team champion with one Brandon Espinoza, somebody who I'm not necessarily against. He's kind of whiny, but, you know, once again, he is a champion and very successful at doing what he does. That's why he's a champion now. Isn't that right, Ricardo?
He has three belts, just like me. The only thing, he's a great performer, a great wrestler. I just have one problem with him. He doesn't have that much big of an imagination. Because he wanted to call the tag team the Legos.
Are you trying to say he's short?
No, I'm saying he doesn't have a lot of imagination. He wanted to call the tag team, our tag team, the Legos.
Why?
Because it's the Latin egos.
Oh.
And actually, I kind of like that.
On that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue. We're sitting here, of course, with producer Bobby Lucy Mendez, the queen of sass. And the Dynamo Pro tag team champion, heavyweight champion, and some random organization also champion,
GWF.
GWF champion, Ricardo Esteban Blondondo
Cruz.
Loquiza Cruz. Thank you so much. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by the Dynamo Pro heavyweight champion of the world, Ricky Cruz, as well as producer Bobby.
Hey.
The sassiest bitch we know, the queen of sass, Lucy Mendez, yes. As well as one who has now joined us. And, you know, his face, Bobby, was a lot like mine when he first walked in and he saw Ricky Cruz sitting here because he's got a little bit of a past with Mr. Cruz, just like I have a little bit of a past, as we all know. because the guy cheats a lot and he does things to screw people over to win heavyweight championships, which doesn't really bring a lot of what I consider respect to the title, yet he still holds that title, and there's nothing I can do about that. Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex, has decided to join us. How are you, Dan?
Wonderful, Mark.
Yes. And your face with Ricky Cruz was, you were kind of, it was almost like a ghost from the past type thing.
Yeah, I was very surprised to see Mr. Cruz here.
Yeah, because I think if the last time I remember you guys were tangling for that title, you had it around your waist.
And I got kicked in the face.
Yeah.
By Ricky.
And then I think if I remember correctly, Ricky took his ball and went home. Didn't he? Did he tuck his tail, run out the building, off to the side?
See, that's the problem.
That might have been against Jordan. I'm not sure. All I remember is you just running out of the building.
That's why you need to do your homework before you get into radio, you moron.
Oh, I see. All right. Thanks, Bobby, for basically putting together what I consider. Well, you know, let's move forward. Let's see
Bobby, where this. That's your fault.
Let's see where this is.
I'll blame him for you.
Dan, how's everything been for you, sir? How have you been?
Fantastic.
Have we?
He's been Dantastic.
I've been Dantastic.
You've been Dantastic?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's always nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a lot of things to get to here, as well as, let's not knock the mics too much. Come on now.
Let's not touch
our microphones and bump our tables. Good Lord. It's like I'm working with some amateurs here, especially Ricky Cruz.
Partially.
Very, very amateur. Very amateur.
Okay, liquid eyes, keep talking.
Well,
hey, it's all natural.
It is all natural. Thank you very much. So I've got a few things I want to talk about here, a couple things I want to rant on. As I said, Mr. Cruz, if you would like to put your beliefs and feelings and your respect issues with me to the side, you're more than welcome to chime in. And
we won't say 2 cents.
Give your opinion.
We'll say 5 pesos.
5 pesos. If you want to give your 5 pesos in, you're more than welcome to.
All right.
And
is that for me too?
No, you're fine. You're Lucy Mendez.
What's the exchange rate from Mexico to Puerto Rico?
I don't know because it's all in the same country, right?
More pesos, it may be less pesos.
Well, in Puerto Rico is the same dollar as here in the States, so it's $1 American is 15 pesos.
That was way too much math for me. I wasn't even counting on doing this. I
kind of knew that.
So he'll just put his 2 cents in, okay? Why do we just make this hard?
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I went to Cabela's. Dan, Ricky, Cabela's. Everybody else, have you guys been to the Cabela's or the Bass Pro Shops recently at all?
Anytime that I want to go be around the finest Americans
the finest,
that walk this
the
soil.
Absolute finest Americans, potentially.
Or that I want to see a stuffed figurine of a mountain lion attacking a deer.
I understand.
Maybe sexually, maybe aggressively.
It's one of those situations.
Or both.
Have you seen the statue of Cabela's at the mills?
There's one
around the main where the mountain lion is attacking the deer, but it's from behind.
Oh.
And you don't know where this is going. This could be sexual assault.
The mills, by the way, for everybody out there listening in Puerto Rico and other cities and countries and stuff like that, where they actually listen to our show as where they don't
it's
watch
a market
Ricky Cruz's
place
matches
for some
at
of
all.
You. It's a marketplace,
it's
but
a
we,
marketplace.
Don't
we don't
haggle. Prices are set. Maybe take some of the excitement out of some of our Spanish-speaking countries. But
it's really weird. Let's go down this road for a second because obviously we have two Latino individuals here in the room. And, you know, obviously because of the Ferguson thing, because the United States is built on a ton of stereotypes in general, I do have a question for both of you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not taking shots, not trying to be rude or anything like that. I just got an honest question for you. When you hear people pull up the stereotypes of Latinos in general, mowing grass or like selling oranges or things like that, do you look at that and go, well, I see that makes sense. Like that seems to be a stereotype that I can understand where they have that basis in? Or do you look at that and just go, that's just not even close to what I think as far as like representative of the Latino culture?
I think it's pretty close, actually.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. What about you, Ricky?
Well, it depends. I could say the majority of the stereotypes that they have of Puerto Ricans, I would say in the north of the island where they have more tourism, where most of the Americans go and see how they are in the north of the island.
Right.
I could see the stereotype, fitting, but not like everyone in the island, it's the same. There's so much mixture. Like Puerto Ricans are made from two different races, so there's more so much mixtures that I can't.
What are some of the Puerto Rican stereotypes? I think we get a lot more influence of the Mexican stereotypes and things like that here.
Well,
obviously,
just so many
you know.
Of them. Yeah. Running around with oranges and cutting grass and just—I mean, that's all we see.
Jesus, Dan. Man.
I'm just saying. Wow. Did you know the biggest?
Jesus.
The biggest influx of Mexican immigrants at one point was in Valley Park,
in
North America. I'm not kidding you.
You're kidding
in
me.
In Valley Park, at one point, it was
I thought
the
it was in Cherokee.
Largest, massive movement, and I was told that it was because when Mexicans cross the border, they go to a Greyhound station. And whatever money they have, they pretty much put it towards a ticket to get them as far away from where they're at as possible. Normally, that ends up
somewhere
they
in
head
the Midwest.
Northeast, and it gets them to about the St. Louis area. And then you figure Valley Park, that's in the middle of nowhere, even for St. Louis. Safe bet.
Fair enough. That makes a lot of sense. There's a lot of things that are pretty much out in the middle of nowhere when it's considered Valley Park.
But not once when I went through Valley Park did anyone try to sell me oranges.
That's fair. Well, you know.
But they did tell you they would put a new roof on your home.
Technically,
with
Ricky.
With a 7-inch overhang, which isn't even legal.
As much as I feel that if Ricky Cruz was ever to lose that title, you know, he does have something he could fall back on then, right? That would be.
But he's going landscaping? Really? Roofing?
Excuse me, sir. Would you like for me to trim your hedges?
When the day comes
Ricky
loses, they're going to interview him. They're going to be like, Ricky, what are you going to do now that you lost the Dynamo Pro Championship? And they'll be like, well, I was thinking about going to doing some roofings.
What's really funny is we cracked the joke, and before you know it, like 10 years from now, Ricky is known as the Orange Man. He becomes a legendary historical status in the United States. It's the most famous person, like the Chiquita Banana Woman. He becomes the Orange Man.
You know, if Ricky's doing it, like he's going to offer the oranges, and then if you say no, like at the next intersection, two of his like henchmen are going to run out and like stab your tires so you can't go anywhere, and he's going
to
come back.
I told
and
you
like,
to buy these.
He's going to be like, now, my friend, you want to reconsider the oranges?
I asked a serious question. I really did want to know what your guys' opinion on stereotypes, and thank you so much.
There's different types. For example, jíbaro in Puerto Rico, it's a term used for a certain stereotype that it's your equivalent to a hillbilly.
Here. Okay, like a redneck?
No. Like,
like a Hoosier.
I marry your cousin. And
yeah, but that's a redneck. A redneck, a Hoosier, and a hillbilly. And I think technically all interchangeable at some point.
Hillbillies are just like, they're straight. They're just in the mountains, dude. Like, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, all right, fair enough.
That's what I meant.
A redneck knows. He just doesn't care and decides to stay.
What's a Hoosier then? Like, is the Hoosier?
Same thing.
They're interchangeable.
They're just different parts of the country. Hoosier is us. Because, like, when I was in California and I said Hoosier, they didn't get it.
No, right, because they think that the entire Midwest is just made up of Hoosiers in general.
Yeah, you
like,
say
they
in Indiana, they're like, thank you. Well, it's like, wait, no, that was supposed to be bad.
That's my point. Like, I've made this point on the show before, is that depending on where you go in the country, the viewpoint of the rest of the country is extremely interesting, because you ask people in Missouri, like, if I walked up to people in Missouri and I said, show me where Seattle is, I would guarantee most people would point up just up in the Northeast to like Oregon, as well as Washington and Idaho and that whole area, and just up there. That's all they do.
That's the Northwest.
They would just point up there. No, but I'm saying
right up there to the Northeast.
Yeah,
right up there
to the Northeast.
I made the point
to a friend of mine. We were talking about the Civil War. If I remember, it was you and me, Bobby. We were talking about the Civil War and how the fact that back when the Civil War was going on, a lot of people don't realize. And I think I might have said this on the show or not. I'm not sure. Gettysburg is the south of Philadelphia. It's like it's down in the bottom of Pennsylvania.
Right.
That was where the North and the South were fighting for the Civil War. So when we think of the South out of Missouri, we think of everything Tennessee and below. Like Virginia makes it in there. Kentucky makes it in there. But everything below that into Atlanta and Georgia, that's what we can think of as the South.
Right.
That was the Civil War.
Well,
but the truth is that no, it got that far up, and literally it was just those upper 13 states was the North. And technically the United States of America's home base, being Washington, D.C., was kind of in the South.
Well, it was only, I think they said, like 40 minutes away from the White House. Washington, D.C., like the
Well,
the
Gettysburg
South,
is past. The South, it's north of.
Well, the capital of the South, the Confederacy, was right there next to the capital of the, you know, the federal. I mean, the United States, your northern, And then the Union Army.
But no, I thought it was in South Carolina.
They're not that far away. They were. I think they're both in Virginia.
I kind of swore that one was in Columbia, South Carolina.
They're really not that far away from each other at all.
I'll go to the credible source, Wikipedia.
No.
On Wikipedia,
Ricky Cruz is a 5-time WWE champion. He used to be a part of the Midnight Express on Wikipedia. But here in real life,
and Bobby Eaton were like this, son.
Which, by the way, I did get a chance to meet a legend and a person that I consider a big value in my professional wrestling career in Bobby Eaton when he was at the last Dynamo Pro show at the Stratford Inn. And it was a really great honor to talk to him and sit down and you know, discuss things with him. It was kind of cool because I watched this guy growing up, huge Midnight Express fan, obviously WCCW as well as NWA, you know, fan growing up and watching all that stuff. And
I think he did his best work with Regal.
That's possible. I'm just saying.
That was seriously one of I went back and watched that on the network, and it makes me laugh. Just the fact that Regal and him would claim that they beat their opponents without breaking a sweat, yet they're sweating profusely in the interview. I just loved it, dude. I'm like, that's wrestling to me.
Now, let me get back to this Cabela's Bass Pro Shops thing, because the reason I brought it up is I feel after walking through there. Now, when I go in there, as you can tell from my liquid ice esque rotundness
from my
years of not being in the ring, because I'm not an active wrestler anymore. I'm an executive director, a guy who runs an organization. I'm in charge and over the top of I go in there, and when I go in there, like, I don't mind seeing all the different things and stuff. Like, I'm not against camo or anything like that. Like, that's fine and stuff like that. What I think is really funny is I noticed that as I walk past the gun area and then as the fishing area and all the different areas, they have these, like, tag words that they have posted up. Like, when you walk past the gun area, it's just not guns, right? The biggest word in their area, because they have to, like, catch those outrage words for all those hardcore guntard style yellow snake flag having idiots out there, is tactical. It's tactical. Because, you know, when you're sitting there at your mortgage job on a Tuesday afternoon, you know, eating your chalupa, hoping that Fred calls you back from the local VA and all that because he's got to re-up on his house and stuff like that, you're in the tactical mode. You know what I'm saying? You're ready to take out two terrorists the minute that they come in the front of your mortgage bank, okay? I believe
if ISIS were ever to strike the United States, they would go right to a mortgage banker.
Exactly.
Or that guy who lays concrete.
But that's my point. It's like, I feel that Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops are just marketing ploys at this point. I don't think that they're literally it's not a company solely for the fact that it's trying to just do, like, this is their thing that they do. I think at this point, they're like, jump the shark. They're over, they're past that. It's like, we know people just love America now, and if, as long as you put camo on it, it's American. So therefore, tactical. Here's guns for tactical. Here's beef jerky to chew while you're being tactical. Here's a tent you can have while you're tactical. You can do all kinds of stuff when you're tactical. Here's a fake duck you can kick in the head while you're being tactical. And it's like, these dudes.
And chewing tobacco.
Chewing tobacco. Which, yeah.
There's this thing that someone sent me over the weekend for a amphibious RV that you can use while you're out hunting.
Good, you can
stuff.
Help Ricky get back to the island of Puerto Rico.
I called, though, to price this.
Wow. Why would you sell that and say, what are we going to do, take it into a lake so that we can just be stuck in the middle of something? Because they can't come out there.
I called to price this thing. You know, over at Cabela's, though, a lot of these tactical things are getting pretty expensive. This amphibious RV, and I'm not kidding you when I tell you this price, is $650,000.
Holy
cow.
Wow. That's a lot of money, man.
But if you get the exotic wood model,
The exotic wood model.
You gotta be styling whenever
you gotta be styling
when you're surviving the post-apocalyptic United States.
It's $1.2 million.
$1.2 million
for the exotic wood model,
Ricky. I think you're stuck here in the United States now. That's all I'm saying.
You know what I love about Cabela's is that whenever I used to work at the mills, which is that marketplace we spoke of,
yes,
they have the Cabela's, and it was like right before Christmas, and they're doing their launch marketing for the Christmas time, and they had first 100 people qualify for a rifle.
Yeah.
And they were all lined up.
There's 700 of them lined up in the parking lot.
But I'm telling you, the first 100 people I saw in that line were 100 people that should never have a firearm.
Dude, not only that, but you know what? They not only do that, but they also do like high-end electric roasters and things like that that they give away beyond those rifles. I had a friend of mine literally call me up at like 7 or 8 o'clock right after Thanksgiving dinner. He called me up, and my friend Elliot calls me up out of the complete blue. He goes, "Hey, man, I might need your help tonight." Now, mind you, it was a cold day. Like, we're talking at night, 10 degrees out. He goes, "I need to go up to Cabela's." And I'm like, "All right, what's going on up at Cabela's?" He goes, "They're giving away at 5 o'clock in the morning when they open the doors. They're going to be giving away rifles and electric roasters and this and that." They had like a couple of canoes that they were giving away. Like, it's a big deal for them for these Black Friday sales. And he goes, "I want you to come up there with me and stand in line." This is the worst part of it. So I said, okay. So I go up with him. I hang out for a couple hours, freeze my nuts off. Like, I mean, it's just frozen. It's 10 degrees out. The wind's blowing. People are just doing everything in their power to stay warm. I'm using a lighter on my hand just to keep my hands warm. just whatever you can. Finally leave. Another friend of mine calls me at 2 o'clock in the morning and goes, "Hey, we're up here at American Furniture," which is literally across. The old American Furniture was right across from the mills.
Right.
He goes, "I need you to come up here because I need you to hang out with my mom and hold my place in line so that I can turn around and
go home and sleep.
No, I can go to Cabela's and get the rifle. He would have been one of those people. No, he wanted to go and get the he wanted to go get some hot chocolate for him and his mom. Like, he just wanted to get something to warm up. You know what I'm saying? So I go up there. I end up standing in line till 5 o'clock in the morning, even though he comes back with the stuff. And I bought 2 chairs. That's the truth. Like, I got suckered into it. I bought you 2 chairs.
What? You know what? I sat over there for a rifle. I didn't get it. So yeah. I'm going to buy at least a chair.
You are such a white person.
I am super.
That is. I don't want to be here, but right. It's open. I'm
the worst part about it is they were camo chairs. And
okay.
Comfortable.
Here's one of the last things I want to get on. And if you guys want to chime in, you can. We only got a few minutes here before we're at the top of the hour. And by the way, you're listening to us on 1380thex.com as well as 1420 WINI and worldwide at theqnow.com. Ferguson held their first city council meeting since the events of August, and the place was heavy with anger. I don't know if any of you saw the video or whatever this past week, but it was very palpable in that entire place. People claiming that they are going out to vote out the sitting mayor, as well as like all the individuals that are on the council. People angry about years of racism and horrible citizen treatment. But my question is why? Why are you angry now? Why is it this specific city council meeting? Not saying that I don't understand where the root cause of your new anger is, but if it's decades and decades of this horrible racist treatment that you have been receiving in this town,
these council meetings
have been going on before Michael Brown got shot. They were going on 5 years ago when all this was still going on heavily and it was a problem. Why did you wait till now?
Because CNN wasn't there before.
Right. That's my problem that I have with the Fergus thing ring right now. Like, as everybody knows, I reserve judgment until all the facts are in and they've made a verdict on this case. I'm not siding with Darren Wilson, the police officer. I'm not siding with Michael Brown. I'm giving points of view on both sides. I'm not a racist. I don't have anything against black people, white people, or anybody. I've got a real problem with taking advantage of a situation and trying to turn it into something that it isn't. If you had these problems before, they're problems. That's it. Ricky, you're from Puerto Rico. How long have you been in the United States?
2 years.
2 years. And I'm sure that over the last 2 years, in small sections here and there, you've run into some racism.
Yeah,
of course you have, right?
My first job when I got here, I did have some issues.
You had some issues. And my point is that I have with the people is like, for Ricky to run into that, he's in his first 2 years. I understand. He understands that there's a difference. And, you know, he's learning about the country and he's acclimated. Obviously, he's not just some idiot. Like, you're disrespectful to me, but you're not an idiot. You know
he's
what I'm saying?
An intellectual, disrespectful
right.
person.
But my point is that like some of you are talking about 20 years worth of racism. If Ricky and Lucy and other people of other ethnic origins have been racistly shot at and treated horrible for decades, that's what led to the civil rights movement the first time around. And they didn't need a situation like Michael Brown to pop off the civil rights movement. They literally just looked around and realized every single day, black people are getting hung in trees by Ku Klux Klan members in the South, and people are doing this, and every time I walk into the local cafe, white people use the N-word and call me bad names, and literally nobody bats an eye at it. It's a horrible, horrible problem, and so therefore, like, they saw this on a day-to-day mass And it was the entire nation. It wasn't just this part of the United States and that part of the United States. This was going on everywhere. Now, the problem that I'm seeing is that you guys are having this outrage over one situation. Not that it's unfair. Totally, you have your right to be outraged about things that are bad. Yeah. I understand that completely. But I feel like you don't have the same type of footing and ground that the civil rights movement the first time around in the 60s had. I think that if you had this going on everywhere, like right now, you don't have the state of Montana. You don't have Idaho beating down the hatches for you. But the problem is Martin Luther King back in the 1960s, he did have Idaho. He did have Montana.
Dude, he did
have
New York.
He had the Kennedys. He had everybody understanding that this, if you were black in the United States of America, it didn't matter what state you were in, they would treat you in a racist manner. You don't have that now. You have affirmative action. You have jobs that you all work. There, many of you, some of you probably haven't dealt with racist issues for many, many years, too. Some of you have. It's not everybody all the time.
Well, there's a lot. Like, the thing is I'm going to go with the fact that I think that they've faced a lot of injustices. And I think that if they are really upset about it, they need to do something about
it. Of course,
it.
Of course.
I'm with you on the fact that this isn't the first time this has happened. They should have spoke up earlier. They knew they could vote earlier. But now that it has public eye, they're doing a lot of stuff that is now affecting other people in surrounding areas. And I think that that is misguided. And I think that it is starting to turn people that may be in their favor.
Oh yeah, fence sitters against them.
I think
totally.
It's non-logical lashing. And I think they need to get a little bit more directed at what they want, and they need to put it where it needs to be put, and not just be angry for the
sake
of being angry.
And we're not talking about black people solely. We're talking about anyone who's protesting on behalf of this situation. Like, it doesn't matter what your color is. You just got to get your game plan a little stronger, because you can't go blocking federal highways.
Don't fuel the people that are going against you.
Ladies
That's
and gentlemen, ISIS is cutting people's heads off. The United States government is worried about we just had 9/11. They were worried about the 9/11 anniversary and potential terrorist attacks. And on the eve of it, you try to shut down a federal highway? That is not the way to catch their ire. It's ridiculous. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. When we come back, more with everybody here. Check us out at theqnow.com. We'll be back in a few. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland, joined today, producer Bobby, Polar to Vortex, Dan Walsh, Lucy Mendez, as well as the Dynamo Pro Heavyweight Champion of the World and Tag Team Champion of the World, Ricky Cruz. Enrique? Is it Enrique, Ricardo?
Enrique.
There you go. Say it again. It sounds sweet.
Enrique.
How are you enjoying your visit here, cheater?
You can call me whatever you want, dude. You know, the show is a lot better when I'm here. And you're adding a lot of Latin flavor by having Lucy here. And now with me,
I kind of owe you. I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I kind of owe you a couple of shots. You know, because you took a couple of cheap shots with a kendo stick on me.
That's the only way you can do it on the radio.
You know, you want to be funny because you always want to go down that road with Liquid Ice. You know, you always want to be funny with the Liquid Ice talk and all that. You know, Liquid Ice used to be a wrestler. And if you would have done that to me in the ring, I would just would have smacked you in your little face. That's literally what would have happened.
Yeah, it's easy to talk to a microphone and say it.
Yeah,
like
a couple
way
chest chops. You would have gotten thrown a couple chest chops right back. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I understand the way the games play because I used to be there, so
Mark,
I know what it's like.
Mark,
yeah,
just be real.
Yeah.
Every time you're in front of me, you get knocked out. You're just acting and sounding and trying to be a man on radio because you're in the other side.
No. A couple of times there that I got knocked out, it was because of the Bum Rush Brothers independently hitting me, not because you did anything.
Okay.
And then, of course, you still took your cheap shot while I was laying on the ground. Like, you didn't want to do it face-to-face.
And hit you right in the head.
Yeah, you did.
Kicked you. Yeah. Knocked you out, right?
No, you didn't really knock me out. I mean, just knocked me back down. It's cool.
He kicked me in the face, too. I mean, it's okay to say it hurt your feelings.
I'm not even a wrestler.
It didn't hurt my feelings.
I'll say it. It hurt my feelings. He kicked me in the face. I was like, hey, I'm a champion.
See,
at least he's man enough to understand.
More than that.
I know for a fact right now that, like, Dan Walsh is sitting within range of you right now. He could literally just turn around, super kick you right in the face right through those windows.
And he won't, because he understands it's a man's sports. And he was trying to do whatever it was necessary to have the belt. And I was doing exactly the same thing. but I won. He understands that.
Well, right, so you're saying you're better than Dan Walsh?
Wait a minute. I won that night, and you kicked me in the face for it.
Who has the belt?
That's because I'm not there.
Who's not there in Dynamo no
more? He's busy, man. He's traveling around.
At the end of the road?
You know, while you're still stuck here, nothing personal. I understand that, you know, you got things coming. Like, by the way, you're getting married soon. Is that what you were telling me off the air? Congratulations to you and your bride.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to Lucy because I was inviting her to the wedding.
Oh. Well, then we will ask her. Lucy, is Ricky getting married? We'll get to the bottom of this right now.
Lucy, is Ricky getting married?
He is.
Well, congratulations to you and your bride.
And to a gringa, too.
I can't.
To a gringa.
Here's the funny thing. I can't believe.
That's white people.
I can't believe you found a woman who actually.
It means Caucasian.
Want to be around you for multiple hours on end each day. That's what blows my mind.
And he found a Caucasian that would do it, too.
Yeah. There you go.
That's kind of weird. That's kind of weird.
Gringa.
That she would waste her time.
For you, it will be weird, even if it's African, if it's Dominican. Mark, it don't matter. For you to have someone, it will be weird. Anyway.
Mark, say gringa.
Gringa.
Time.
No, it's but say it right, because if you gringa. Say it wrong, it's something else.
Gringa.
Yeah. You gotta gringa.
Gringa.
Ginga.
Gringa. It's not ginga.
Ginga. Ginga. Gringa.
You're very close to needing the beep.
Chupa mi huevos.
Oh, my God.
There it is.
That's wow. eggs.
All right, well, let's move on here because...
I think he said, prepare my eggs.
So, ladies and gentlemen...
Something like that.
So, ladies and
the
gentlemen...
The one thing in Spanish he understands.
Yo hablo poquino español.
He has heard it so many times that he understands it.
If you don't mind, we're going to talk about... We're going to talk about somebody... We're going to talk about a couple of athletes who are really good at their jobs. Honestly, they're really good at their jobs. So, if you could just give us a second here. We'll talk about some real athletes that make real money. Floyd Money Mayweather thinks the NFL was too hard on Ray Rice. Check this out. A boxer and serial batterer of women, Floyd Money Mayweather, said yesterday that he doesn't think it was fair that Ray Rice received more than the initial two-game suspension and that the NFL overreacted to the video of Rice cold-cocking his fiance. I think there's a lot of worse things that go on in other people's households also, Mayweather said. It's not just caught on video, if that's safe to say. Mayweather, who has been convicted of, pled guilty or no contest to, or pleaded down from at least 15 combined counts of domestic violence, battery, harassment, stalking, and violating a protective order, said that he himself has been falsely accused before. Like I've said in the past, no bumps, no bruises, no nothing. Mayweather said, with OJ and Nicole, you've seen pictures. With Chris Brown and Rihanna, you've seen pictures. With Chad Ochocinco and Evelyn, you've seen pictures. You guys have yet to see any pictures of a battered woman, a woman who says she was kicked and beaten by Mayweather. So I just live my life and try to stay positive, and I try to become a better person each and every day.
In his defense. He doesn't think that anything happened because he still thinks that footage in the elevator is him punching a dude because he can't read the story that's underneath it. That's why he has to... He brings up pictures because he can't read words.
That's a good point.
Whenever they have to explain to him the game plan for his fights, they use pop-up books. Because they're animated, he understands that.
Okay, Bobby, you wanted to talk about Ray Rice.
Yeah, and on a serious note with this. Okay, so with the Ray Rice situation, the video comes out this past week of the actual encounter in the elevator with Ray Rice and his wife.
Yes.
Where at the beginning of the video, this is no by any means acceptable or anything, but at the beginning of the video, apparently something was said. Rice spits apparently towards... at the time, it was his fiance, spits towards her and then slaps at her. And then once they get in the elevator, she, with a closed fist, punches him and he kind of smacks away at her. And then they separate. She says some words. And as she comes back towards him, he open hand hits her in the face, knocking her into the railing, knocking her unconscious, pulls her out of the elevator. And then at that point, he brings her back.
Now, first thing, before you go any further, we don't condone violence against women on this show. That is not something that anybody here sitting here, maybe Ricky Cruz, but I doubt it. I would assume that you don't.
In my country, he would have been killed by the people.
Fair enough.
Not by justice, but by
fair enough. Fair enough. Wow. I feel that nobody here condones beating of women or harassment of women.
Does.
What's that?
Floyd Mayweather.
Well, he just doesn't really, like you said. Which, by the way, you know.
He hasn't seen the book.
So, go ahead, Bobby. I just wanted to put that out there.
So, initially, when the video came out, the original video, we just saw Ray pulling his fiance out of the elevator in Atlantic City. The NFL suspended him for two games. He went to court and took a plea to where he just does some like anger management classes. Okay. So the video comes out by TMZ where we actually see him hitting her and everything. The NFL, first, the Baltimore Ravens cut him so they do not have to pay his salary, which was slated for $6 million this year. Next year, $4 million, and the following year, $3.5 million. The NFL then turns around and suspends him indefinitely and says any contracts that are submitted for Ray Rice's services will not be accepted.
But a new person was picked up today on the Baltimore Ravens. A gentleman by the name of Gray Grice just showed up with a mustache. Sexy black man with a mustache. Gray Grice is now a member of the Baltimore Ravens.
It's truly a Cinderella story to see Gray Grice come from started, nowhere. I've never heard of him. Where did he play college? I've never even seen. Probably CFL.
Started from the bottom here.
Started from the bottom, yes. Came up. You see, this is America. Okay, so, that can happen.
So Bobby, what's your point? Like, where are you going?
Okay, so here's where I have the problem. Okay, yes, absolutely. The NFL, I think, in the long term, did correct. They did suspend him for a longer period of time based upon what he did. Now, here's where I have the problem, though. The NFL does this to Ray Rice. But when Ray Lewis killed someone,
yes,
he was still allowed to play in the NFL.
And when Little.
When St. Louis Rams player Leonard Little, drinking and driving, kills a woman.
And then gets busted again.
Again for drinking and driving, he's still allowed to play in the NFL. Okay. So why?
First off, let's go down this. Let's go down this chart. Lucy Mendez, as a female. Yes. Okay. Quick question for you. Do you feel that the 2-game suspension was a harsh enough punishment for Ray Rice in regards to this situation?
I do.
You do feel that uh-huh. I mean, because you're a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
In general. Like, it's not like you're a moron when it comes to sports. So you understand the, as well as being an athlete yourself with professional mm-hmm. wrestling, stuff like that.
And she likes to hit other people.
Yeah, she loves to hit other people. So you feel that
she understands that
was fair.
Especially
a 2-game thing.
If now, she's making their bet.
What about the indefinite suspension by the NFL? Like, the long term.
I think that was a little too harsh. Hasn't the wife come out and like...
The wife has come out and said that she, you know, it was an unfortunate situation, but it was their situation to deal with. The NFL, you know, yes, the NFL could have suspended him, but the NFL shouldn't have gotten involved as much as they have. The other thing that they have done to Ray Rice is any jerseys or any representation of the Ray Rice name is no longer allowed to be sold.
But they added G's to a lot of them.
No longer allowed to be sold, and he's been pulled from every video game that he's ever been a part of. Like, they've done roster updates.
They got
Madden
over to Bobby's house yesterday, grabbed the NFL 15, grabbed that
Madden 15
team game, and just pulled it right out of there. Just like, just scratch the disc in the right place.
I think that the NFL stepping in is, I agree with that's not their place. However, financially and from a business aspect, I think Baltimore has every right
to
do exactly what they did, because that puts a black eye on their whole organization.
So basically, we should have left this up to the owner of the Baltimore Ravens to make the final decision.
It should have been left up to the law, and it should have been left up to the Baltimore, because that's who he's working for. The NFL, I guess,
and that's
can
the
get
other
involved,
problem that we have here. That was months ago when that happened. That was many months ago. They've already gotten married since, as well as other things. Like, to them, it's water under the bridge. Now the video surfaces after the fact.
Right.
So now it's just like past stuff. It would be like, you know, some argument you got into a girl with 9 months ago all of a sudden shows up today, even though you haven't talked to that person in 9 solid months. You have no interaction with them whatsoever. And all of a sudden, you lose your job on MTV as one of the stars. And you don't get to wrestle in Dynamo Pro or wherever anymore. And you don't get to, like, that'd be ridiculous. She'd be like, that happened 9 months ago. That was a one-on-one thing that was in a parking lot between me and my girlfriend at the time. Like, this is an argument.
This is what sucks, is whenever you hit that level of celebrity, and if you're going to be in a situation where you're getting paid millions of dollars,
right?
Like, I understand the argument of, oh, they're just human beings. However, you're getting paid millions of dollars.
To be a
public
model
guy, why are you slapping people inside of an elevator? I mean, I'm not saying that what's going on is right as far as, like, from each individual aspect, but at the same time, I don't feel bad for the guy. Like, you, in a public place, you assaulted your wife. You know that this country and pretty much the world
thinks badly of that, yeah.
Frowns upon beating your spouse.
They do?
Yeah.
Yes,
except,
Bobby.
Like,
yes.
Some places in the Middle East. But the thing about it is that you did something stupid, dude. And you're gonna catch the flak for it. And sorry, you were all about that $1 million and being famous when it benefited you, but then right. whenever it creeps up on you. Yeah, they're people, but here's the thing, man, they get paid a lot of money, and there's a lot that they get that you don't get, and for that, you need to act accordingly, and you're going to take that stress of not being able to get away with things that most people are going to get away with.
Ricky, Ricky Cruz, where do you stand on this whole situation?
I'll be honest with you. I something that you said caught my attention. It is that some other athletes killed people and didn't get as severe.
Someone, a teammate of okay. Ray Rice.
But this is my point.
Hall of Fame teammate. Let's yeah. just be honest.
This is my point. Just because they didn't get the action that they should have
the punishment,
taken, the punishment yeah. that they should have gotten does not mean that he should be, people need to be lenient towards Rice.
Well, I agree. Now, I agree with that.
I agree the NFL went all overboard. I agree that the owner of the Baltimore team should have made the decision which is best for the team and for the, you know, to keep the city in right, calm right. about his team and whatnot. But, I don't think it's fair in any way, and I think he should be punished. That's, you know, no question whatsoever.
I do have an interesting one I want to pose to all of you, okay? Obviously, this is actually interesting because it kind of touches on Latina culture, because this is a very popular thing in Latina culture. Latino culture.
Latin culture.
Latin culture. There we go. Latin culture. Thank you very much. Why didn't you correct me, Ricky Cruz? You got a big mouth. You used to shoot it off all the time.
Oh, don't worry, dude. I mess up with English all the time, so I kind of understand that you...
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll take
it's your
that.
Language.
I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take that jab there. You know, dogfighting is very popular in Latin culture. Like, dog fighting is... No. That's not... It's rooster.
Rooster fighting.
No. But don't they also do, like, dog fighting and stuff like that?
Not
sure?
The perros.
No, really? Are you sure?
I'm not sure. I'm just seriously, I've seen...
No perros.
Lucy's had a couple
fair enough. Fair enough.
But never
prize chickens.
A dog.
Okay. All right. So let's go to Michael Vick. That's why I was touching on the whole fighting of animals things. Michael Vick gets caught for dog fighting.
Right.
Turns around and ends up doing what? 4 years in jail?
Does 4 years in jail and then
prison? In prison.
In Kansas too.
Are you comparing the guy's wife with the?
No, that's not exactly where I'm going at all. Okay. What I'm saying is
the dogs didn't even spit in his face.
I'm going.
That is not a fair
comparison. Stop. I'm going down the idea that this man takes animals. Right? Do we consider dogs on the same level as human beings? By any means whatsoever. Do any of us here consider dogs on the same level as a human being?
I don't, but there are some people that do.
I mean, they love their dogs, but
you hold your cat.
I think abusing a helpless animal, I think it's the same. It's discrimination of any part. It's someone who holds a level of dominance choosing to, for his own gain, hurt something that's weaker.
Now,
for its own financial gain.
So what's the question? The question is then at that point is,
for any game.
Is yeah. Michael Vick, was he overly punished for his situation when we're talking about what we consider, in some cases, depending on the individual and the person we're talking about, what we consider a lower mammal form on the hierarchy of
human beings.
Animals, things like that, versus a smack to a wife's face or a hit. Not that we condone that. I'm just saying, like, this dude went to prison for 4 full years, lost his entire 4 years of playing in the NFL. Well, and he got reinstated, but at the same point, like, he paid a really high price.
4 years, and he was suspended for the first 8 games of the season that he came back.
Right, and our boy Ray Rice here, yeah, he's already played multiple seasons making millions of dollars that he's got in the bank. He's now indefinitely suspended from the NFL, but it's indefinite. Like, they could bring him back. At the same point, and I, which is worse, smacking a woman and doing what he did, or having dogs fight each other?
But if you look at the law, unfortunately, the law is set up to where domestic abuse, for the most part, unless it's very, very serious, isn't always going to result in a jail term. However, if you get caught dog fighting, regardless of your celebrity status, you're going to jail for animal abuse.
All right, fair enough.
Now, the other part of this...
It's not that one was overpunished, it's that... A few of them have been underpunished. That's the issue.
That's exactly my point.
Lawrence Little should not have ever played in the NFL, and he should have went to jail for life the second time that he was drinking and driving.
No, you're right.
At that point, that was premeditated manslaughter, and I think that he should have had attempted manslaughter for doing it the second time because he knew what could happen.
Ray Lewis?
Ray Lewis killed someone in a Baltimore home and then turned around the next week and played in the Super Bowl.
Did he kill the person himself, or was he just
It was murder.
No, the one dude from the New England Patriots, they caught him.
Aaron Hernandez.
But
No. He's being charged, but they haven't officially come back and said, this is the person who killed him.
I thought they found dude's bubblegum with his chewing marks on it by the body and everything.
Hernandez was like getting caught, like, because
there's beyond
his girlfriend was like withholding, and they found that.
Beyond reasonable doubt, there's a lot of information that shows that he did.
Evidently, very few situations are like Ray Kruth. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but isn't he in jail awaiting trial? Or
he is awaiting trial. Yeah. Now, here's the other part of this whole aspect, though, that kind of changes this a little bit, I guess. The NFL has stated that Commissioner Goodell never saw this video that was just released this past week. They have stated that they tried to get in touch with the prosecuting attorney in the state of in Atlantic City, and they never received the actual inside video. But the prosecuting attorney has said, no, we did send the video to you. We have a voicemail from Commissioner Goodell himself that says, I've received the video, thank you, blah, blah, blah. So for them to have done the 2-game suspension after seeing the video the initial time, apparently, and then now that the video has surfaced on TMZ and everybody's seeing this, now they've recanted the 2-game and
but
done the
indefinite.
But to play
devil's advocate on the situation, to Roger Goodell's defense, regardless of all the past crap that we talked about already, okay?
Right.
On this situation alone, okay?
Right.
Maybe Roger Goodell, and like I said, I'm playing devil's advocate, maybe Roger Goodell looked at the video and realized this is an internal situation between Ray and his wife. And they're married now. Like, I know these things. I was invited to the wedding type thing and all this other. Like, maybe he looked at it and was like, this is not something that I need to be worried about myself. This is a Baltimore Ravens
thing. So then why, when the video comes out to the public, why do you turn around and say, well, he's suspended indefinitely?
Well, why do you wait until Michael Brown gets shot to turn around and come to a council meeting and say, oh, it's all racism and they hate us today?
Because it's all, guys, it's all PR because it's the court of public opinion.
Well, yeah, it's only the court of public opinion. We are such a PC society
now. None of these money grubbers care. No one cares that that woman got hit. No one cares about Ray Rice. What they're trying to do now is not make their fans upset.
They're looking
so that they
for fake outrage. My biggest problem in America today, fake outrage about everything. Mm. Oh, my God. Obama's not involved in the Ray Rice situation. He's not doing his job because he sticks his nose everywhere. And the minute a guy like Obama sticks his nose into it, what's he doing? That's not important. He needs to be focusing on ISIS's.
That honestly pisses me off when he does get involved in small situations within, because that's not his job.
Yeah, and all I heard today on Fox News, because I caught a couple of things that people sent me, all they talked about today is, why isn't Barack Obama involved in this situation? Here's one of his citizens getting battered down by another one. And it's like, guys!
Well, you're also picking on Fox News. I mean, without bashing Obama, they really have no program schedule.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There'd be no chance. It'd just be blank air. Just like if there wasn't for Republicans, CNN would have nothing to talk about.
Speaking of that, I want to finish on this before we hit the end of the hour. MSNBC just discovered that their viewers are strong supporters of the Second Amendment and the right of honest citizens to carry guns in public. That's right. You would not think that, but directed by the network's host to an online poll about gun rights, the results overwhelmingly support the right to carry. This is MSNBC that finds out right to carry is popular. The question was, should Kroger shoppers be allowed to carry handguns? With more than 25,000 votes, 83% answered yes, it is a constitutional right, and only 17% responded no, it is a threat to public safety.
Well, it is Kroger's.
I think this is partially in part to the Memphis beating.
Comments on the liberal site were a bit surprising, and I'm certain not what MSNBC expected. Here's a sample. I'm black and I carry. Nothing negative has happened to me because of it. Kroger sells guns. Every Fred Meyer, where I live, which is Kroger's, sells guns, including AR-15s. For all this hullabaloo, how many accidental discharges have there been at Kroger's across the nation? Or is this just being hypothetically afraid? Fake outrage!
At Kroger's?
Oh, what?
A clearing barrel.
I don't think so.
Before you go into any building in a war zone, there's a clearing barrel. You put your rifle inside of there, and you check, and you clear your rifle so that if you fire, it fires into the barrel. Into someone's face.
Oh, interesting. I never heard of that before.
Logical. Yeah, it's a clearing barrel.
But as everybody likes to claim on my show that I always just bash constitutional conservatives and Tea Party people and all that, nope, right there, MSNBC... little egg on their face because they're idiots. Because, yeah, people are going to, depending on what part of the country you do these polls and things, are they? Yeah, the idea of the Second Amendment is a strong thing. Like, we all agree the Second Amendment is important. The question usually comes down to the gray area of what they're really saying in the Second Amendment, like where the boundary lines are in comparison to what people think in their heads. Like,
I don't really think you need an AR-15.
That's a good point. Because like, I think that's overkill.
Like, the effective radius on that is like 1,000 meters. Like, that's... That's
you're
overkill.
Disappointed in how far it can go. Listen
no,
to you.
Because here's the thing. If you have a 40 or something, you shoot someone, stopping power is going to pretty much stop there. You shoot an AR-15, you hit that person, it's going to deflect. It's going to come out. I mean, people around are
this guy. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break here on the queue.
I know how to use one.
Dan Walsh is going.
Most civilians don't know how.
Fair enough.
It's dangerous.
Check us out at the queue. Now, if you want to talk to Dan Walsh directly, you can always send him up at DanWalsh83 on Twitter. You can always follow me as well as Bobby. He's CC Papa, SISIPOPPA, and I'm at Mark Bland. We'll be back on the queue right after this. Intergalactic planetary intergalactic. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue, of course. Mark Bland joined today by my producer, Bobby, who, for some reason, and I don't know why, has decided to invite Dynamo Pro Heavyweight Champion and Tag Team Champion Ricky Cruz into my studio, which was definitely not to the pleasure of myself as well as Dan Walsh.
He is trying to bridge the gap of communication
between
you and the champion.
He's going to communicate with my fist to his face if he keeps talking trash like he's been.
You're so angry with him.
No, I'm not angry. I have multiple experiences with this young man over here who goes out of his way to be disrespectful to the executive director of operations. That's pretty much what it comes down to. It's nothing. It's not a slap at him personally. I didn't know him before Dynamo Pro at all. Like, yeah. I didn't know he existed, just like the rest of the world. And then all of a sudden, he enters into my world. I get hit with kendo sticks. I'm getting knocked off ring aprons. I'm getting kicked in the head when I don't expect it. Like, it's ridiculous.
Mark, everybody has a different way to say hello and to show love. Maybe where Ricky comes from, that's how they're like, hey.
I feel like that's like the version of the Dan Double Up vocal. That's the Dan Double Up vocal right there.
I'm just saying, he kicked me in my face at one point, and I just chose to believe that.
You believe
where he comes from.
Did you believe?
I did. I said, listen, maybe he's just like, you know.
Where he comes from.
Hola, amigo. Kick to the face.
Listen, what we do on the continent of North America compared to his continent is completely different. That's all I'm saying.
I did not know Puerto Rico was its own continent.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm
Congratulations,
saying.
Congratulations, Ricky.
Let me
take the polar vortex flying reality tour there.
Let me tell you guys the story of Duana Marcel Transmore.
Who?
Duana Marcel Transmore. Certainly took her infant niece on a shopping trip to
remember.
I'm glad
you said it again.
Unfortunately, Transmore allegedly didn't want to pay for the items in her cart when she tried to leave the store, and that's where the trouble began. It all happened at a Walmart in Rostever Township, Pennsylvania. Transmore was spotted by the store's loss prevention officer trying to leave the building with approximately $85 in mayonnaise and laundry detergent.
Mayonnaise?
That she hadn't paid for sitting in her shopping cart.
She makes a wicked tuna salad.
Tansmore's 1-year-old niece was also sitting in the car seat strapped to that shopping cart when the loss prevention officer tried to get Tansmore to go back into the store, and the struggle over the baby began. Tansmore grabbed the car seat, apparently forgetting that it was strapped down. The cart teetered back and forth. When Tansmore shook the thing to try to dislodge it, it almost tipped over. She finally tried to drag the cart behind her as she attempted to leave the store with the baby, but when that didn't work, she just left the child behind. The baby's mother and grandmother eventually showed up at the store to claim the infant, who was not injured in the incident. They also identified Tansmore to authorities, who then arrested the woman near her home. Tansmore has been charged with recklessly endangering another person, retail theft, and endangering the welfare of children. She was moved to the Westmoreland County Prison after she was unable to make the $10,000 bail justified. She is due back in court on September 9th. So, yeah, that's what's been going on in the world. They leave the baby to steal the mayonnaise.
Aww.
Because mayonnaise is important, Dan Walsh.
Teach him young. I like mayonnaise.
You gotta have a mayonnaise sandwich.
Yeah.
Ricky, have you ever broken into anybody's house and stole anything?
No.
All right. Fair enough. We'll just move on from there.
Whatever you do in your free time when you're not in radio, don't try to involve me. They don't do that
Ricky,
in Tijuana.
Have you ever?
Desde Puerto Rico,
baboso.
Gracias.
Yes.
All right. Ricky, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Okay. I'm going to put you on the hot seat because now that I have guests come in, even if it's a guest that I'm not particularly fond of.
Say that again.
Particularly.
Have you seen like pontificate yet?
I can't believe you've been. How old are you?
Old enough to be older than you. Yeah, you know.
And I learned English in 3 years, and I'm a lot better at English than you are. That's just ridiculous.
Which was really funny because off the air, you decided to pull the translate to the translator move, which was really funny to me because you're Latino, and you turn around and you like default to Lucy when you were trying to figure out a word. So you said it in Spanish. She translated it for you because your English is so good on the translation.
In 3 years, it's a lot better than what. Ever Spanish, you know.
Yeah, I do. I would also say that in 3 years, his English is better than most people who've lived there their whole lives.
That's a very, you know, good call. I wouldn't know. I don't hang out around him like you do, Dan Walsh. I'm not bestest friends with Ricky Cruz.
We're not bestest friends.
When
either.
He kicks me in the head, I have a problem with that. Yeah,
I have a problem with it. Listen, I was able to be the Dynamo Pro Champion for a year. All right,
a damn.
And
good
I
one
understand
too.
That whenever you're the champion, people are going to do what they got to do to get under your skin to get that title. I may not agree with it.
Why don't you tell me what the rules are? Do you know the rules? Tell me the four rules.
The rules are to be successful at all costs.
To be successful at all costs.
So maybe not my route.
That's not
maybe
four
not
rules.
My route. He kicked me in the face. It sucked. I was mad.
Did you come to win that night?
I had already won, yes.
Did you refuse to lose?
But in the long run.
Did you cheat if you had to?
No.
Have you forgotten the rules?
I've cheated before. I'm not going to lie.
Right. Fair enough.
I've cheated, definitely. But in the long run.
Hat tip to Gary Jackson.
It would be for me to say or to condemn what he did. I'd have to condemn what I did.
All right. Well, when I have a guest in the studio, I like to do five questions. The hot seat is what I like to call it. And I ask five random questions, you know, and you just answer your own way however you see fit. Okay? Fair enough?
All right. We'll do it.
All right. So.
Number five.
Which inanimate object would be scariest if you saw it screaming? If you saw an inanimate object screaming, what would be the scariest thing?
You're going to laugh at this one.
Fair enough.
A lawnmower.
A lawnmower. If you saw a lawnmower screaming at you, like it's chasing you down. Well, I guess because a huge mouth that's like circular spinning. Yeah, that'd be kind of freaky.
That would scare the hell out of me. Have you ever seen The Lawnmower Man?
Yeah, I have.
That was pretty creepy.
It was a horrible movie. That's a crap movie,
I wouldn't put that on the top 10 at AMC. But is that
wait, was that Yahoo Serious that was in the movie?
That dude looked like Yahoo Serious.
I think if it was in Yahoo, it might. I don't
know. But
sure.
You know who was in that? The dude who went on to be James Bond.
Daniel Craig?
No. The one before him. Pierce Brosnan.
Brosnan. Really? Yeah. That makes Pierce sense. Brosnan's that would have been about that time period.
He's the scientist that gets him hooked up to all that virtual reality stuff that makes him evil.
Oh.
There it is. Yeah. There it is. I did it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I did it.
Jeez.
Where's it's my pen? If there's one thing I'm good at, it's bringing out curse words from Latino women.
Oh, my goodness. Told you, Ricky. Told you. All right.
On that note.
Number four.
How would you live your life if you didn't have to worry about anything money related? What would you do if you had never any worries about money at all?
Back home in Puerto Rico, because I live like 5 minutes from the beach. So.
And what would you do with your time?
Nothing.
He would take the best manager.
You literally just hang out at the beach every day, all day long?
Take Lucy and all my friends to the beach every day.
Would you invite me?
No.
Can I be your friend?
I can take you. There's someone needs to feed the sharks.
Themselves.
Number three.
If the first thing you notice when you look at your left could talk, what would it definitely say? So look to your left, and what would it say? If it could talk right now, just whatever's going through its mind, what would it say?
Hola, papi.
Lucy Mendez is directly to his left. And
Say it.
Hola, papi.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Number two.
What's something that you don't think people should be ashamed of?
Showing love.
You don't think people should be ashamed?
I've noticed here, and don't four. Take it personal. You know, talking about stereotypes, and you had your fun with Latin people.
Sure.
Americans are very, very, very cult culture.
Oh, yes. I will be the first to agree with you.
But I almost got slapped and for hugging a person.
And you're in the third worst state, according to certain polls.
We're like the most unhappy this is like,
I didn't know that.
The city of St. Louis resides in the state of Missouri, which recently won third place worst place to live on a poll recently. Wow. So, yeah. So they're extra cold-hearted here. So I could understand that cold-hearted aspect.
The city of St. Louis is ranked above Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
What happened to your microphone, dude? Did you knock your mic? Did you? No, you're not working at all. Bobby, can you get that working for me, buddy?
I was just stating that St. Louis, in a poll a couple years ago, was placed above Port-au-Prince, Haiti, in one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
Wow.
To be in.
All right, Steve, go ahead and hit me up, number one, Bobby.
I don't have anything important to say, Bobby.
Number one. Get that fixed for him over there. All right, Ricky, if you could have anyone in history be your tag team partner in a wrestling match, which is weird that this question even comes up, who would you pick and why? Anybody in history?
Wow.
Could be anybody. Doesn't have to be a wrestler.
Liquid Ice.
Bobby Eaton.
At least he'd win matches better.
Ricky Steamboat, because he was the reason that I became a wrestler.
So you'd want Ricky Steamboat?
Yes.
You could have Pancho Villa. You could have the Pope, one of the Popes. You could have anybody in history.
Just to make you think a little bit. If I was thinking from Puerto Rico, I would say Pedro Morales.
Okay, Pedro Morales. Yeah. Fair enough. All right.
The Pope has a sloppy Northern Light suplex. I'm just saying.
Hey, Pope Francis, clean it up, buddy. Yeah. Your clotheslines, man, they're really stiff.
Well, congratulations, Ricky Cruz, because you have now gone on the Q hot seat, and congratulations. You survived.
I appreciate it.
All right, we are moving on with, you know what? This is always a good time. Everybody is single. More than half of the U.S. now, up from 37% in 1976. Single Americans make up more than half of the adult population for the first time since the government began compiling statistics in 1976. Some 124.6 million Americans were single in August, and 50.2% of those who were 16 years or older, according to data used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics in its monthly job market report. That percentage had been hovering just below 50% since about the beginning of 2013 before edging above it in July and August. In 1976, it was 37.4% and had been trending upward since. In a report to clients entitled Selfies, economist Edward Yardeni flagged the increased in proportion of singles to more than 50%, calling it remarkable. The president of Yardeni Research in New York said the rise has implications for our economy, society, and politics. Now, Bobby's married. I'm married. Ricky, you're on your way to being married from what we found out earlier. Lucy, you're single. And Dan, you're single. Do you feel like these statistics are correct? Do you feel like you see more single people than you see married people?
I think whenever they do these statistics, it's manipulation of numbers. You also have a growing population that is growing double, at least since 1992. So I think a lot of that comes into effect. And when you have more people, that doesn't always mean that more is the same quality. So, I mean, I think anything with statistics, you can just pull and manipulate numbers however you want.
Now, if you want to know why Dan's had some relationship problems in his life and why he's single, you can go back to one of our past episodes where we had Lindsay on.
Yep,
Lindsay Walsh, sex therapist. She did an entire half hour with Dan Walsh, psychoanalyzed him. And to find out why he's so single.
Basically. And she had nothing but nice things to say.
She did. She had great things to say about you. She didn't think that you were 100% at fault for most of it.
She said that as long as I was okay with my situation, which I had seemed to be, that it was okay.
She went out on the board. She said that you weren't completely 100% at fault. She said 99.65% of the reasons why you're single are your own fault. And then there's a small 0.35%.
She did not point out that
it's the other people around
she
you.
She said that I am fine on my own. I don't have any need to be in a relationship. And that is 100% healthy as opposed to somebody who needs to get into one for all the wrong reasons
think she
and
was
makes
hitting
themselves
on you?
Unhappy.
Basically, she was
hitting on you?
She said that she felt that I put myself in too many positions to where I was to put myself at service of others.
Fair enough.
Which I don't understand how that has anything to do with. I think that would go in more of the
category of making me want to be in a relationship. But other than that, she was like, Dan, you're a genius. Everything you do is perfect. Just keep doing exactly what you're doing.
You know, I did.
They call that being fantastic.
She said, listen, the world's going to change one day because of you. So continue.
She hit you with the beginning of like a great movie trailer.
She said,
one day in 2017, she said, the world changes for the better.
Jesus Christ, and said, hey, listen.
This summer.
You should change this.
In a world where Dan Walsh controls everything.
Dude, in a world where Dan Walsh is funny.
And what is my lineage one to the...
Yeah, so, you 2083. He's 2083 in the royal crown. Like, if you were to, like, people die and all this, Ricky. Yeah, we should find Ricky, too. His lineage actually rests around 2083rd in line to become the king of England.
And my family's that Irish. Is, that's hilarious.
But we found out.
Ricky, Ricky's Puerto Rican. I'm sure he's, like, Ricky's
probably in there, too. But, like, no, seriously, we found out, like, the king of Romania is, like, in line at number 216. Like, the kings of other sections are in line to be the king of England.
The king of Sweden is...
It's weird.
The king of Sweden is 450th in line.
Yeah, it's really weird.
If
like
a
the
mass
people,
catastrophe happens, as a I funny, could be the king of England.
On the night that we do this, me and Bobby are hanging out. I decide to go find out, like, who is the lowest person in the royal family currently, like, alive, that is in line. I found number 52 on the list. She is, like, the daughter of a duke or duchess or earl or whatever, like, three sections removed in the family. So, like, 51 other people have to die. I literally found her on Twitter, and I tweeted her, and I'm like, you know, we need Duchess so-and-so to be the queen. Let's get this moving.
But the best part is this chick's only got, like, 200 followers, and she's only following, like, maybe 10 people.
10 people, and I'm like, we need, and she retweeted it. She's like, yeah, you're right. We do need to get Queen of England. I'm 17 years old, and I'm ready for this. Yeah. Like, it was funny, dude.
That's all right. Awesome.
Oh, put me God. In the symbolic monarchy.
Bobby, I,
yes.
You know, before we get to your five things,
okay,
let's clean some things up here with Ricky Cruz here. So, Ricky, I'm you have a match coming up soon.
I have Dynamo. Several matches.
Yeah. Are any of these matches worrisome to you? Because they should be. Considering I'm the one setting up some of these events, you should be a little worried, bro. That's all I'm saying. What's up, Bobby? What's
I just thought this was appropriate for why you guys talk.
Richie Valens.
Yeah.
You know, now,
it's being, true. You watch being Bruce funny, start dancing.
Being funny, my first job, they did a karaoke night. Okay. And that's the song they wanted me to sing.
They wanted you to sing La Bamba?
They wanted me
isn't
to sing
that
La Bamba.
The orange?
That's so weird.
The what?
Isn't La Bamba the orange? What does it mean?
What does La Bamba mean?
Bamba doesn't have a meaning in English. La Bamba is a traditional dance that they do in Mexico.
Oh. Did you know Richie Valens couldn't even speak Spanish?
No. Did not know that.
His family was of Mexican
I know he was
descent,
young. He was
but
like
he never learned how to speak Spanish.
He never watched La Bamba?
But I didn't. Well,
did you know
yeah,
his brother
but
was
I was like, you got to realize when La Bamba came out, I was like 10 years old.
Well,
like,
rewatch that.
Well, yeah, I can rewatch it now. That's not a problem. It's just been
you
years.
Did
you know
you
that Richie
I just thought that the music video with the three mariachi guys was Los Lobos was awesome, so I just danced
I am really happy they didn't hear you say that. So, what were you asking?
So, what I was asking was, are any of these matches that you got coming up worrisome to you at all? Because they should be, because I did set them up specifically, because I think that these guys are talented, and I think that they have a good chance to take you that title away
hey, Ricky,
from your belt.
Ricky, real quick.
Yes, sir.
I think you should change your entrance music, and I think we have the perfect idea
okay,
for you.
Dan?
Okay,
Dan?
Go on, Bobby.
Okay.
This is for you.
This is so wrong.
It's very festive.
You two have problems. I'm in the middle of a real...
Dude, his picture. Dude, he's coming out. He's all angry looking and stuff. He's got his henchman.
Do you want him to be Kamala?
No, that... it's got to kick in.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, my God.
And he's, like, mad, but he's doing the Macarena as he stares at people.
No, you got some Dynamo Pro matches coming up. And I think you need to be worried. I think you do, because I've talked to some of these guys.
Who should be worried is not even my opponent. You should be worried, because at every show you get knocked out. I don't even know why you're telling me to be worried. I'm the man. I'm the champ. I got both belts.
I want you to understand and the reason that I get the reason I'm getting involved
wait,
in some
wait,
of these situations.
Wait, and a hot-ass manager.
Mouthy manager. You got a mouthy manager over there. But my point is that, you know,
The reason I get involved in some of these matches, Ricky, is because you take it and you literally just throw all the rules by the wayside. And then, like, we get to a point where there's not even people in the ring because you've destroyed everything. Like, you're just going out of control. It's chaos.
That's why it's called exactly the King of Chaos.
No, but I understand that. But that's not how we can't live under that guise. Do you see what I'm saying? Did chaos work in Ferguson? No, it didn't. Chaos doesn't work. That's the point. Chaos doesn't work for me. Chaos doesn't work for the organization. Chaos just doesn't work.
Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park explained how chaos did work.
Okay, that's it. You know what? Listen, Bobby, five things. Let's do this.
It's something with water.
Jesus Christ, Dan.
I'm just saying, let's get a thing of water. We'll figure it out.
Stop it, Dan. Time for five things with Bobby. Who's Bobby? Knock it out.
Okay, there's part of the reason I played La Bamba is because there's only one song on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time that is not in English, and that is La Bamba.
Fair enough.
It comes in at 345th.
We didn't know that.
Number four. President Grover Cleveland was 27 years older than his wife, which isn't necessarily extremely creepy on the surface, except for the fact that he was good friends with her father. He actually knew her shortly after being born because of being friends with his father, and then he babysat her when she was a child.
Oh, creepy, creepy.
What was that again?
Nothing. Go on.
The company of Chipotle
uses
an average of 97,000 pounds of avocados every day.
Damn.
97,000 pounds of avocado every day.
All right. Fair enough.
That's only a 3-pound diet.
I'm waiting for Dan to have a problem with one.
The White House actually responded to a petition to build the Death Star from Star Wars in 2002. They wrote that it would cost exactly $850 quadrillion. And
quadrillion.
Quadrillion. And, quote, the administration does not support blowing up other planets.
Fair enough. And finally.
That was the Obama administration.
And number one,
Bush would have been down.
When Sega was marketing Sonic the Hedgehog 2 for the Sega Genesis in 1992, they decided to build hype by releasing the game in the U.S. and Europe on a Tuesday, which has stuck, and that is the reason for the release of video games on Tuesday.
Ah, so that makes a lot more sense. Hmm. I always wondered why Friday, because for, like, now they've kind of gotten away from, like, Friday being the only movie release date. Like, they do different days.
For the most part, Friday is always the release date, unless there's a holiday. Then they released it on a Wednesday.
Catch people on payday.
People get paid. Yeah. And it's the start of the weekend. Why wouldn't you?
I understand. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's about time for us to get out of here on the queue. I think we will do a little bit of overtime tonight or today or whatever you're listening to this. And I want to warn our friend Ricky Cruz that before you go shooting your mouth off anymore, you need to be a little careful around me. Because as the executive director, I have the ability to do things.
Yeah,
and as I told you, it's going to be a tough road. If you wanted it tough, you got it tough. And that's what I've been making it for you. So you need to be careful. But you've got some events coming up. I think September 30th, we're going to be doing the Off-Broadway show for Dynamo Pro. As well as, I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty stuck in the idea that it was September 30th.
Are you saying that you have some tricks up your sleeve, Mr. Bland?
I don't have any tricks up my sleeve, but we also have other events coming up in October. If you get a chance, go check out DynamoPro.com as well as you go to the Facebook page for Dynamo Pro. Search it up. They have all the information as well as the posters for all of our events coming up there. I want to say, thank you so much for sitting in with us today. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule, your really busy schedule, sitting there throwing grapes into your own mouth, talking about how many titles you have, how cool it is to cheat to win and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah. I thought we established earlier.
So thank you very much.
It was an honor for you. Have me and Lucy here with
me. Also, definitely, I want to make sure that I mentioned to a few people out there, thanks to 1380 and 1420 WINI for playing the show every single Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 Central Standard Time at NewsTalk1420.com and 1420 WINI. Sundays, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock Central Standard Time, 1380TheX.com. Check out theQNow.com. We are looking for a pastor to come on the show and take up the reins for religion so we can discuss some deep thoughts regarding current events. This is not for the faint of heart. So if you are interested in coming on the show as a pastor, we would love to discuss these things with you. But at the same point, it's going to be a little bit of an edgy show. We're going to put it out there. And if you have any ideas or sponsors, anything you want to say, hit us up on the contact section of theQNow.com. Thank you so much to Dan Walsh.
You're very welcome, sir.
Producer Bobby.
Yep.
As well as Lucy Mendez and our esteemed guest,
Ricky Cruz. Thank you once again, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to do it for us here on the Q. We will see you next time on the show. All around the world.
So international. You can't catch me, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime, where Dan Walsh is in charge of picking music with producer Bobby. And that's what I get is America, fuck yeah.
You're lucky it wasn't the Kim Jong-il song.
All right. Now, Lucy, please go ahead and get it all out of your system now.
Fuck, shit.
Bitch, ass, whore, trick. Bitch,
whore. Piss, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, yes. Fart, turd, and twat.
Yep, there it is.
Thanks,
you got it,
Dan
Walsh. You got it out of your system?
I guess now I do.
All right, fair enough. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Overtime.
I thought this was the segment I can cuss, though.
Yeah, you're fine. That's why we let you do
it. Oh, shit.
There it is. So, producer Bobby, Dan Walsh, Ricky Cruz decided to not take his visa and go back to Puerto Rico. So, he's still here. And as well as Lucy Mendez, who is daintily shoving an Old Town Donut in her mouth.
Yes, these Old Town Donuts with caramel and bacon.
Old Town Donuts, favorite donut of the North County kids. One, yeah. Two, three.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we fuck love yeah. That. We fuck we, America, the donut.
Fuck yeah, Old Town Donuts, fuck yeah.
There it is. That should be their new jingle. That should just be Old Town Donuts, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. And then everyone would be like, well, they're from North County, so...
It's all right. As everybody knows, Bob, you had a story you wanted to tell us. Tell us your story.
Okay, dude. So Ricky was kind of saying something a few minutes ago before we started Overtime about Jose, just the name Jose. Well, I read an article about a guy, a Latino man here in America, whose name is Jose.
Really?
It's my uncle.
He applied for jobs. Putting his name, Jose, and then his last name, didn't get any callbacks.
I did hear
nothing
about this.
No callback at all. And he would call places and be like, hey, you know, I've submitted a resume and all this other stuff. I mean, he was an educated kid. He's got a master's degree.
And I saw
everything.
A picture of him. He doesn't look Latino.
Right. So he turned around and he was like, well, let's see what happens if I change my name to Joe. Changed his name to Joe, had 10 job offers in a week.
Yep. That's serious. That was a story a few days ago. I read that.
He has a master's degree. I don't remember what it was in, but he was applying for like business jobs.
I bet you if it was for lawn care, he'd have been called immediately.
Okay.
See, you just got to, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, you go where there's the demand.
Ricky, you don't know about this, but on Overtime, we get a little edgy. You know, we go a little bit off our chart here.
That's why we said, fuck yeah.
Yeah,
fuck
that's a good point.
You go ahead. I can call you an hijo de la chingada, no?
No, eso se lo puedes decir cuando quieras.
You can call him that all the time because we don't know what the fuck that is.
As long as you're willing to allow me to start using ethnic slurs, that's fine.
We've been using that all night.
We called you Latino in Latin.
What
that's
I
not
love
an ethnic
about Mark
slur.
Is Mark said at one point in the show, I'm not racist. I don't hate you if you're black, white, whatever. And then he has single-handedly made multiple jokes about Ricky floating back to his country, going back to Puerto Rico,
losing my visa when I'm like a citizen,
selling oranges. Yeah. Like it is.
No, I asked
but
about
the funny thing is when he.
Before we go any further, I asked about a stereotype with the oranges in the lawn mowing. I did not accuse anyone of anything. Mm-hmm. I asked about his stereotype.
He talks about my visa, and then he turns to Lucy, and he goes, and you, because she does need one.
You need a visa?
What? Lucy, you need a visa. No, she's got Matthew McConaughey. She don't need no visa.
Need no time out.
You need a visa to come from Dodge City, Kansas.
Dodge City.
Well, pretty much, dude. Do you know it takes you shorter time to get to Guam than it does to get to Dodge City, Kansas?
Sort of. That's probably true.
It is literally where picture middle of nowhere.
Right.
Dodge, Kansas is about
5 miles
past that.
Okay. It's a good point.
Literally, people wake up in the morning in Dodge City and they're like, where the fuck are we?
But here's the beauty of a Dodge City, Kansas. No. This is a beauty of a city like she grew up in, because in a place like Dodge City, it's actually at least a well-known rural area that's in the middle of nowhere. Like, you could be in a lot of places surrounding Dodge City
that's
nobody knows the name of. And you are in a small enough town that it's literally the middle of nowhere. Yet people actually do know the name of your city. Like, it exists.
Well, they left for a reason.
No, I don't go that. It was just on the Oregon Trail, right? That's how it works. not the Oregon Trail. What are the trail that came up through, I think it was
Lewis, the Oregon Trail.
It was the Oregon Trail. It comes up from Texas through Oklahoma in through Dodge City up that direction.
See, I always got typhoid before I got there.
Oh, that's a bad joke.
Oh, wow. Shit. You mean a real one.
Oregon Trail joke.
What I love
Apple II GS joke.
Well, like, whatever she tells me about Dodge City, she's like, oh, it's the meatpacking plant, so it smells like meat.
Oh, and no, that's not what I say. I said it smells like shit.
It smells like shit.
I didn't know if you noticed this, but Apple released a couple of phones and a watch, so guess who's getting a new cell phone now?
Bobby!
Yeah, no shit. That's happening.
Dude, when anyone releases a phone, I'm like, Bobby's going
to I even walked up to him, and I'm like, so, I bet you're going to get that new iPhone. He goes, no, I might. Yeah.
Bobby.
My exact words were, is there a watch with it? Yes. Then I'm fucking getting it.
I don't understand why you just want some random GPS tracking device on your arm.
Bobby almost got fired from his job for jerking off on cell phones. That's a good how point. Much he gets into them.
You heard about that?
Oh, God.
He's got his own
already
Matthew.
Installed.
I've got my naughty bitch. I've got my own Matthew.
Ricky, you don't know this, but what we like to do is we bring in Dr. Dan. We have people who write into the show every single week. Sometimes it's hate mail. Sometimes they say things like, God wasted a perfectly good a-hole by putting teeth in my mouth.
Yeah, they
say things
really
like that. You know, they really tee off on Mark.
They said someone
can't even be mad. You just laugh.
So they're pretty much Dynamo fans.
They might be.
Okay. They said someone forgot to say when.
Oh, when they're pouring you.
They
in
said
a
that they were pouring me into my shirt and they forgot to say when because I'm such a fat ass. They say all kinds of rude, mean shit to me. They say all kinds of
a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. That's why I read it on the air. I love those things. But sometimes we get special little treats. We get girls and guys and people that write in about relationship advice and just advice in general that they want, and they ask our opinion. It started off as just a little fun thing I used to do on the side, and now it became a serious thing.
They get pretty serious.
So we would love for you if you would be so kind to if you want to jump in on any of these and kind of give your opinion, because some of these are interesting. Mark, my girlfriend has been on vacation from her job for the last couple of weeks. It kind of sucked because it was our 5-month anniversary, which she took quite seriously. So we were texting and things started to get suggestive.
Obviously, she left town.
So we were texting and things started to get suggestive, or at least I think they were. And then she sent me a message saying, hey, babe, Skype me. I have a surprise for you. We have done the Skype sexy thing before, so that's where I thought this was leading. So I flopped it out and Skyped her my erect penis, taking up the entire screen.
Then, her mother.
Then when she answered, it was her entire family. Oh! Mom, dad, two little brothers, six years old and 10 years old, were yelling in unison, happy anniversary. I freaked out and slammed the laptop shut. I since have received two messages from my girlfriend in the past 24 hours, each saying, what the F was that? And answer me. I don't know what to do if this is even going to continue on. What do you think?
What's this person's name?
I didn't grab the name. I can find out. Okay, it's Ricky, not a problem.
Ricky. Listener.
It's Ricky. His name's Ricky.
Believe it or not, listener, I have a very... I understand where you're coming from.
Did you do this?
Have you had this problem?
When I was in Kuwait, staging, getting ready to go to Iraq.
Yes.
I was with
Let's
one of my buddies.
Let's set this up. You were with a buddy.
We're sitting there, and there's I'm a girl joking around with him, and I'm like, dude, I have a really low-hanging ball sack.
Really?
And he's like, no way. And I'm like, yeah. And there's a story that goes that when I was, like, born, like, the doctor came out to the delivery room. My dad tells people the story.
Okay.
And apparently the doctor goes, Dan, hanging low, to gesture to him that I have a really low ball sack. So I'm telling him this, and he's just laughing. He's like, fuck, no, it isn't. So I'm like, dude, I'm serious. He goes, all right, let's see it. Now we got to see it. So I'm like, all right. So I pull him out. And sure. Like, he goes, holy shit, that's weird looking. He's like, they're pretty low. He goes, I have to take a picture of this.
When you say low, just without showing us, like, are we talking like 6 inches lower?
I mean, it's not like ungodly low, but I mean, like, it's low.
It hangs.
It's low. Okay, yeah. It's uncomfortable to wear a certain underwear and shit like that. So anyways, he laughs about it and he takes a picture as a joke, right? So as we get up to Iraq and we're staying, and I mean, this is at a point where you take your cameras and you just send them and you hope they make it through the weather and or like the heat and that, and you hope that they get developed. So he sends them back. At this time, he's engaged, okay? So he has two cameras that he sends back. He sends one to his fiance, and he sends one to, like, his family, like his brothers and that. He confused the cameras. So as the fiance and her family are looking over pictures of Kuwait and everything as we get ready to go, there is a picture of my ball sack that they're all looking at.
Nice.
He caught so much shit for that, that when we got home after we went to Iraq and everything, that like she would still give me evil looks. As wow. if like it was still
as if she was jealous. She was like, "Oh no, man, what I could have had."
They were fucking angry, dude. Wow. It was just like, "You piece of shit." And I'm like, "I didn't know." And so I've done that on another. It wasn't my girlfriend's family. It was a stranger's family who now all of them have my balls etched in their eyes and memories forever. So what you should do is just I always giggled and owned up to it. And I mean, like, they don't talk to me anymore, but
well, you
maybe
know,
that doesn't.
What's kicker about this is it's a 5-month anniversary. It's not like they've been together for a couple of years or anything like that where they can kind of just whoosh it off to the side,
what's,
you know?
What's right. with them celebrating month anniversaries?
I don't know. Have you ever celebrated the month anniversary? Ricky, you? Month anniversaries? It's always years and things like that. Dan, months?
I've never made it to a year.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
Pretty much.
That's about all you get? All right.
I study like months. I celebrated months like of sobriety in that, but not. Right, not in right. relationship.
I would say in this case, man, just you're going to have to weather this storm. If you want to stay with the girl, this is just going to be one of those. Here's the funny thing. In my opinion, this is one of those stories that like kind of like Dan's situation, like, but this is more on a one-to-one, you know, eventually potential wife material type thing. This is one of those stories that like you're 5 years married, you know what I'm saying? This comes up at a funny family dinner party where everybody's drunk late at night, you know what I'm saying? Will. Like this is one of those stories that like bond you closer.
They're gonna laugh about this, man.
This is gonna be a
laugh. This isn't a big deal. And here's the thing: if you want to make it even, tell all of them to send you pictures of their private areas, or take a picture of your butthole.
There you go.
I don't understand how that does it, but I mean, screw it, just keep going.
I had a friend who was showing his mom. She had just bought a new laptop, and it had you know the little camera on it built in already. And he was like, yeah, mom, this is really cool. You know, you can do a lot of stuff with this, and it's got a built-in camera. So, you know, if I'm gone, you know, we can chat with each other and blah, blah, blah. Well, he didn't have Skype downloaded, so the first thing he thought of was, okay, well, what's a website that has webcam capability? So he goes to Chat Roulette.
Oh, God.
Pulls up Chat Roulette. The very first video that pulls up is just a dude jacking it hard.
Yep.
Did she talk to him about sports?
The mom at first freaks
really,
out.
Really, Dan?
The mom freaks out, and she's like, get that off my computer. And then about 2 weeks later, she comes to him, and she goes, what was that website you showed me?
That's awesome. Nice. All right, well, let's move on to our next story here. Mark and Bobby.
Yes.
No Lucy this time. What no Dan. Heck? Well, Dan hasn't been around.
I'm never in these
you
things,
You were on
man.
Hiatus, man.
Even
what do you
when
expect?
I was here all the time, they didn't write me.
It's okay.
Mark I've and Bobby, the other night, I had a very unique and embarrassing moment. I came home late to my parents' house where I live in and thought they were out of town. As I come in the house, I hear noises and laughter coming from my 15-year-old brother's room. So I am weirded out because I am thinking they are all gone for a trip and I have the house to myself. While I go up to the door and I hear the noises definitely coming from his room, I decide to burst in and scare him. When I open the door, I see a naked guy having sex with a girl from behind, and he's wearing something on his head. I flip the lights on. The guy covers the mask on his face, falls off the bed, and the girl screams. Well, come to find out, he was wearing night vision goggles, and that the guy was my brother's best friend using our house for sex. I was angry and started throwing
was
things
Dan
at him.
Walsh?
I was angry.
When it comes out.
I was angry and started throwing things at him. Now I need to figure out if I tell his parents, tell my brother, parents, tell my brother. He begged me not to say anything, but this is way too big for white lies. What do you think I should do? We got a guy who's real. Like, first off, it's not even the brother. It's the brother's best friend wearing night vision goggles, railing a chick from behind, 15 years old. The lights come on. It blinds him. So he falls off the bed, which is already comic relief in itself. On top of that, she's screaming, throwing things at him. And now she's got to figure out, do I tell his parents? Do I tell my parents? Do I even tell my brother? Should I?
All he can say is that he was wanting to have sex while protecting the safety of this country. He's like, what about
the night vision goggles?
Are
ISIS just
attacked. I wouldn't even see them because I was in the throes of
Ricky,
passion.
Have you ever used night vision goggles during sex?
No, not at all.
You don't know what you're missing.
As he shoves an old town donut with lots of bacon bits on it. Oh, yeah.
America! Fuck yeah!
Jeez, man. No, you know, honestly, I think that you need, if worst case scenario, I think this is one of those, all right, we don't need to like spread the personal business to the brother and the mother and all that, or to the moms and the dads, but I think you should pull your brother off to the side and say, yo, your best friend was fucking some chick in my room.
But the best friend knows. Or in your room? The best friend knows, so you need to go to the brother and be like, bro, you'll never fucking believe what I walked in on. And then the brother's going to be like, oh, shit. Did you catch Ricky again fucking the girl?
Did he have the goggles on?
Did Ricky have the goggles on?
Like, that's what it's going to be. And then it's going to be a big joke between the three of you. But the friend is going to be like, God damn it, he fucking walked in on me while I was fucking her with the night vision guy. Couldn't fucking see for
a
week.
Did you fuck with night vision goggles on?
No, you've never
done. Masturbated with him.
Are you okay there? You go ahead and swallow that before you talk. It's cool.
She has free car wash for life.
Yeah, no shit. Exactly.
It's going to be done quickly. I'd own it. I'd be like, yeah, I fucked her with the night vision goggles. Let's go tell your parents. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, I really shit out of her. And I had night vision goggles on.
Interesting.
And it was beautiful. And it glowed and it scared me.
That's crazy. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Q. And Overtime, I want to thank Ricky Cruz, Dynamo Pro Heavyweight Champion, as well as Tag Team Champion. Thank you for being on the show today, sir.
As well as the inventor.
I have to admit, I have fun.
All right. Have fun. I appreciate it. Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex, anything you want to say before we out of here?
I want to thank the guy who invented night vision goggles. Without you, we would have never been introduced to such a vast and interesting world of sexual and masturbating possibilities.
Lucy Mendez, anything you want to say?
No.
Buenas noches. And what about you, producer Bobby?
Check out Old Town Donut at oldtowndonut.com.
Old
Town
Donut.
They're so good.
They're so good. America, fuck yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time on The Q. He's telling me it's real that he loves my sex appeal. He said he don't like them boys.